Netflix to stop it from releasing the movie. IndieWire says Netflix.
The traffic stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about five personal financial habits you should not apply in your business. I'll tell you about the three traits you can use to get people to do what you want. I'll explain how you can compete in a crowded space and how you can speed up the sales cycle. It's Thursday, October 17th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Welcome to the program, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, a brief check of the weather shows that it's currently 54 degrees at 12:05. And today it'll be partly cloudy and windy with a high of 57 degrees and a low of 44. For tomorrow, it's going to be partly cloudy throughout the day and clear at night with a high of 59 and a low of 36. So if you're planning on getting out to the high school football games, it looks like a good night for that. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 62 and a low of 40. And for Sunday, we're going to have showers throughout the day, a high of 62 and a low of 48. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently up 13.12 to 27017.45. The NASDAQ is up 20.54 to 8144.73. The S&P 500 up 7.47 to 2997.36. Oil is down 41 cents to $52.95 per barrel. Gold up $4.30 to $1,498.50 an ounce. All right, all kinds of technical difficulties with the Facebook live stream. Who cares? We'll just keep going anyway. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Again, so glad you could join me. And if you are listening, that means that you're probably listening either on your phone, your tablet, or on a computer. You've got an internet connection going, and we'd ask that you would then go to a new URL, Facebook.com, and search for the program. It's called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And like and follow that page. This way you'll get updates periodically throughout the week on anything that might affect business, the new overtime laws that went into effect last night when Elijah Cummings died. We put that out there as well. So it's a good way to keep track of what's happening midweek with things in the news that may affect business. This time every week, we do the business quote of the week. It's brought to you by Crown Trophy of Flemington. Another one from Anonymous, that world-famous philosopher Anonymous, has come up with yet another great quote, and I really like this. As it pertains to your business, this is the way I want you thinking. I want you to work while they sleep, learn while they party, and save while they spend. Live like they dream. And that comes to us, again, from Anonymous. And so is that something that you apply in your business and in the way that you interact with people? Work while they sleep, learn while they party, save while they spend, live like they dream. I think that's – it just shows that if you're doing more than your competition, you're going to win the rat race that we call life. So hopefully you'll be able to do that. I mentioned last week that I had appeared in an article in Advantages Magazine. This is the trade publication for the promotional products industry. And been getting a ton of replies and responses from people saying that they liked my comments, they liked the article, and I've even gotten some orders out of it. So this is another way for you to expand your business and become kind of like a thought leader or a person that's recognized in the industry. So any chance you have to improve or communicate via newspaper, magazines, anything like that, put yourself out there. It's something that you can reference later on in your career and say, hey, look, I appeared in the Courier News. I appeared on the Star Ledger. You know, because anything that will bolster your credibility is something that can definitely help in your business. This weekend, I'll be emceeing two fundraisers. The first is tomorrow night for the Center for Great Expectations. That's going to be down in New Brunswick. And the second will be the Operation Jersey Cares fundraiser at their fourth annual gala. So looking forward to both of those. So last week, I went to a men's store. It's a store that caters to men. And they promote themselves as being kind of like a warehouse, if you know what I'm saying. And so I go to pick up my tuxedo for both events. Looked good. You know, I looked good in the tuxedo. There's just one problem. The girl who took the order wrote down that the event was November 18th and not October 18th. So I have no tuxedo to be the MC of these two fundraisers, which is thoroughly pissing me off. And the boys at the men's warehouse know that I'm not too pleased and are trying to take care of that. I told them, I said, we get one shot to do this right. I better have a suit here come Friday morning. So now I'm going to have to leave work, go to the men's warehouse, get changed, and then go directly to the event. Not exactly the way I like to prepare when I'm emceeing an event. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not the boys can come through for me and have that suit ready for both events. But if they don't, we may dedicate a whole show to trashing the men's warehouse. Not sure, but we'll see. Again, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I want to talk to you for a minute about three valuable traits for getting people to do what you want. And I don't mean in a psychotherapy way, but when somebody walks into your shop and tells you about a need that they have, are you armed with the tools that you need so that you'll be the one to help them find a solution rather than your competition? Sales don't just happen by themselves, and if anyone knew that, it was one of the all-time best, Zig Ziglar. Now, here are some words from theZiglarVault.com, and I brought this out because a lot of people that have been writing to me or emailing me are complaining that sales are starting to drop. They're losing accounts to competition. People are shopping on price, or they're going to the internet for the convenience. So I wanted to see if there's something that I could share with you that would help you when that phenomenon happens. And I think this article sums it up best. So what you're doing is connecting the product or service with your prospect's needs, wants, and desires. When you're asking them to buy something that will make their life better, once you show them that this is true, you're going to get that much closer to getting them to do what you ask. When what you want lines up with what they need, that is when you win. Now, when there's a match for the two, and remember, they may not have known they needed it at first, but if they do, and it's up to the salesperson to help them see it that way, then the salesperson is kind of tactful about getting someone to see that they need a product. That is when the other person feels good about this product or service. However, understanding how to do this is another issue that needs to be tackled if you want people to do what you ask. The answer to understanding how to get people to do what you ask them to do is by listening to them first and finding a way that your product will help them out. Problem, solution. That's why asking questions is so important. And that's why having empathy is so important. And that's why being attentive is so important. The three traits you need to embody to get the people to do what you ask are curiosity, empathy, and attentiveness. You have to have a genuine curiosity about a person to truly see how your product or service will help them out. You then have to have empathy for their situation, and you must absolutely be attentive to their needs. Always remember that they really don't need it, and if they don't, we shouldn't sell it. But as a salesperson, our goal is to ask the right questions with empathy, with care, and with tact to determine what the situation is. Sometimes people don't need to do what you ask. Sometimes they don't need to buy another product to better their life. And sometimes when this happens, you need to realize and understand this so that you know when it's time to stop asking. So again, empathy, attentiveness, curiosity, all of those components go into the sale. It's not just about selling. Make sure it's what they need, and if it's not, if they don't know that they need it, convince them that they do. And if they don't still don't need it, then walk away. You don't need to make that sale that particular day. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to fix the microphone, and we'll come back in just a few minutes with more on Taking Care of Business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every week. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and glad we can get together for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Well, competition, I think, in business is something that everybody has to deal with at some point. If you create the first light bulb, like Thomas Edison did, chances are a lot of people are going to come after you making a better light bulb. If you build the first mousetrap, chances are somebody's going to come after you and make a better mousetrap. You know, we've all heard that expression over time. So what does that mean, and how do you compete in what we call a noisy industry? And by noisy industry, I mean a busy one, something where it's a crowded space. If you own a dress shop, chances are there's other dress shops in the same town as you. If you own a gas station, there's other gas stations near you. And it's amazing here in central New Jersey the price difference that I'm seeing in gas. Over at the Delta station on the small circle here on the Route 12 circle, it's like $2.33 for gas. 10 miles down the road towards Bridgewater, $2.63 for gas. And if you go on Route 22 in Bridgewater, it's over $3 for gas. And there's a gas station in Plaquemine, New Jersey, charging about $3.75 for unleaded. How can he be charging $1.40 more for the same product that's here in Flemington for $2.33? It makes no sense. But people still are buying gas there. So how do you compete in what's called that noisy industry? It's not easy to cut through the chatter of a crowded market, but your small business can make itself heard above your competitors. Staying competitive is one of the most pressing concerns for any business owner, big or small. Small business in particular tends to be much more competitive in nature because the companies exist in diverse markets, which fluctuate often. Staying competitive means staying up to date with current conditions and being heard. In short, noisy markets make it difficult to succeed because you're fighting an inordinate amount of chatter to get your brand known, heard, and respected. Because small business is impacted by these elements more, efficiency and relevance are a major concern, especially as it pertains to crowded or noisy markets. Now, marketing and content marketing, by now you've probably been made well aware that both the traditional marketing and content marketing are rampant with competition and noise. So which one do you pick? Do you stay strictly social? Do you do a balance of both? Or do you stay with a traditional? Every brand, organizational, professional, and up-and-coming business wants to be heard somewhere. So how do you navigate that space? And what's going to make your pitch any different than the next person? So this amounts to the constant blasting of promotions, exclusive offers and events, unique contact, media, and much more. How many times can Tide come out with the new and improved Tide? What was wrong with the old and boring Tide kind of thing? As a marketer in today's world, you really have to invest a lot of time in your work to stand out above the pack. Some are better at this than others, obviously, but it doesn't negate the fact that it takes time, experience, and knowledge to achieve. And it also begs the question, how do you present yourself as original and unique in such a massively fragmented world? Just sharing an infographic, for example, can be incredibly frustrating because there are so many already in circulation. Not just that, but sharing an infographic on, say, a retail business stat, remember, that's just a single example, is tough because so many other organizations and brands have already done the same thing. Why would anyone care about the stats of your small business outside a minimal group of loyal customers, especially up against shared info about major companies? I've said this several times, and people don't always understand what I say. So let me put it to you a little bit differently. A crowded space has to be dealt with differently than if you were the only person in that space. So when I say the sentence, you have to be different to be remembered, what do I mean by that? Think of the car commercial, Cars for Kids. They have that very annoying jingle. But if you're thinking about getting rid of a car, chances are that 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS jingle is going to pop into your head, unless you have another charity that you prefer to give it to. If you go back into the 1970s, the Crazy Eddie Electronics change, his prices were insane. Everybody knew that, and that's what made him memorable. Be different to be remembered. Now, I'm not saying you got to scream into the microphone, scream into the television camera or anything like that, but your message has to be different, and it has to be very clear. How many times have you watched a commercial or an advertisement and asked yourself, what are they selling? What is the product? What is the company? Even Geico commercials, you know, hey, Mike, it's Wednesday, it's hump day, hey, Mike, what day is it? What is he selling? Well, the only thing we remember is that Wednesday is hump day. I forget 9 times out of 10 that it's a Geico commercial. So be different, be remembered, but make sure that the message is still clear. So the trick is to locate the right influencers and audience, and then target the right people in your marketing efforts. Furthermore, realize you're not alone and that you don't exist in a vacuum. There are tons of other brands, organizations, and individuals trying to do the same thing you are. You need to leverage that and use it to your advantage. Offer to share awareness and exposure for a similar brand or professional in return for the same thing about your own content and services. Engage, interact, and share content on social media, and be a driving force in your platform of choice. If others see you're willing to share content and updates, they will often return the favor. Finally, turn to your audience at large to crowdsource your marketing and sharing movement. The more people who are willing to spread information and buzz about your brand and services or marketing content, the more likely you are to expand your reach. You're going to want to evolve, grow, and change like never before. You'll notice the central pattern behind all of the examples I've given is that these companies and brands are willing to evolve, grow, and change even beyond what's expected in their respective industries. That's important because it drives innovation, but it also builds a positive reputation and, most of all, buzz about you. To be loud and to be heard in an incredibly noisy industry, you need to let your customers and partners assist you. Standing on the rooftop shouting at the top of your lungs is only going to cause you to lose your voice. But by investing the time in an innovative campaign like the ones that we've discussed, you'll travel much farther than you ever have before. So on that note, partnering with other people, co-branding, co-marketing, things like that, is this something you would do, or would you be afraid to do something like that? Would you ever market a competitor? Would you let people know something your competitor is doing if it meant that they might do the same for you one day? Now, here's an example. Let's say there's a job that you simply cannot do. And I've had plenty of other trophy shops call me and say, look, this job is too big for us. We can't handle it. Can you do it? And I'll take on the work. You know, I always love having work. So I'll take on the work, and in exchange, I'm going to promote them. So if a customer comes in, let's say this guy couldn't do a 500-piece order, but they could do a 10-piece order, I'll send them to him so that he gets something in return. Or I'll thank, you know, I'll publicly thank him and say, hey, we really want to appreciate, you know, send our appreciation to XYZ Trophy Company. They gave us this order. We really appreciate that. Glad we could help them out in a pinch. You know, let them know. Is there a way that your company can work with another company? I've seen this a lot, and the Italian bakery, which is located in the shopping center next to me, does this all the time. They make great food, great treats and cookies and desserts. And what I found out is that when I go out to dinner, let's say I order a cannoli, there's a good chance this cannoli came from the Italian bakery because they supply so many desserts to local restaurants. If I go to a wedding, there's a good chance that, you know, they supplied some of the goodies, you know, for that. So is there a way for you to partner with other businesses? So when the bakery is closed at 7 o'clock at night, they're still selling product at 9, 10 o'clock at night because all the restaurants are open until that late. I talked to a gentleman yesterday who his wife opened up a new restaurant, and another restaurant in town fought them vigorously throughout the whole planning process. They didn't want this particular restaurant to open. Rather than partnering with them and being a good neighbor and saying, yeah, let them come in and we'll sell our beer there and they can sell their beer here, they fought each other, and now they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. They're never going to work together, and yet together they could probably create something amazing in their town. But that's the choice that they've made. So if you can partner with another business to promote your business and you promote them, it works out great. The coffee shop in our shopping center, when you get a napkin now, the napkin says Planet Fitness on it. And I'm like, why is Planet Fitness on your napkin? He goes, well, they're telling people to come have breakfast here, so we're using their Planet Fitness napkins. It works for both of them. So it's a good way to promote the business, or both businesses. You eat a big hearty breakfast over at the coffee shop, and then you got to go work it off down at Planet Fitness. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gannot. I'll be with you until 1 o'clock. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 5 personal financial habits that you should never apply in your business. We'll be right back after this news break.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Criticism of President Trump and his policies by Republicans on Capitol Hill is fairly rare, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is again criticizing the president for withdrawing troops from northern Syria. Speaking on the Senate floor, the Republican leader says it's a premature exit that's going to have consequences.
I was encouraged to see yesterday's display of bipartisan concern in the House of Representatives for sustaining America's global leadership, and specifically over the damaging impact of hastily withdrawing that leadership from Syria.
McConnell referring to a resolution in the U.S. House yesterday that condemns the president's decision, but which McConnell says doesn't go far enough. UK and EU leaders are agreeing on what's described as a tentative Brexit deal, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot, with you every week at this time as we get together to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Huntington County and on the national scene as well. And again, so glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time. Let's talk about five financial habits that you shouldn't apply in your business, but so many people do. And it's almost as if you have to be two different people as you run your business and as you run your personal life. But hopefully, after reading this story, you'll understand where I'm coming from. So if you have negative personal financial habits, don't let them spill over into your business. And I'm going to explain to you how you can start with a clean slate. Now, whether you're starting a brand new business, taking over a business, or you've already been in business for several years, these are the things that, if you do them right, they won't hurt your business over time. Now, a startup needs many things, but the most important might be a financial plan. A thoughtful financial management strategy is key for sustaining cash flow, using business credit wisely, and protecting against economic downturns. Even with a solid financial plan, however, it's easy to let poor personal habits spill over into your business. But instead of just impacting your personal finances, this behavior can put your professional future in jeopardy. And worse, it can put your team members' livelihood at risk. Which personal financial habits should you be sure to break before putting on your CFO hat? Well, the following five are especially dangerous. The first is impulse buying. That people make purchases on the fly because of that "I want it now" voice in their brain gets the better of them. One of my mentors has told me consistently to always run a major purchase by a trusted source. He said that as a younger entrepreneur, he would make a major splurge for the business during a great month, only to regret it when numbers went down the next month. No matter how successful an entrepreneur thinks they are, every dollar should count every time. So plan for certain purchases. If there's a certain piece of equipment that you want that's going to help your business grow, plan for it, save for it, and then purchase it when you have all the money in place. Now, to avoid buying on impulse for your business, institute a two-minute rule. If you feel tempted, give yourself 120 seconds to think through the pros and cons of splurging on that gadget or service or tool. If you have a business advisor, mentor, or co-founder, run the purchase past them for another opinion. The second area that I want you to think about is overusing your credit cards. Now, credit cards may feel like free money, but that illusion won't last. It'll last about 30 days. If your revenue streams were to dry up, even the minimum monthly payments on a five-figure balance could put your company at serious financial risk. Just as in the personal finance world, business credit cards come with interest rates. So consider limiting yourself to one or two business credit cards and only use them for purchases you know you can pay off over the next payment cycle. If you need additional credit and have a plan to pay it off, consider an installment loan instead. Making late payments. People are chronic with this on the personal side. Don't let it happen in your business. Now, you might assume that a late payment here and there isn't a big deal, but fees start to build up quickly, and repeat incidents can result in a reduced credit limit. Worse, your personal and business credit scores are likely to be impacted, reducing your ability to get credit in the future. Rather than relying on your memory, set up an automatic bill pay system. Set calendar reminders for expenses that you can't schedule. If inadequate cash flow is the core issue, reevaluate your revenue and expense tracking processes. if need be, reduce your monthly spending altogether. Don't compare, if you're not comparing your actual and your budgeted expenses, you can find yourself in trouble. Now, most businesses have a budget, but an alarming number of entrepreneurs fail to actually compare their spending to those benchmarks. Many scrape the bottom of their bank account before they ever realize that they're overspending. And just as dangerously, others treat their bank statements, which are just withdrawal and deposit listings, as ad hoc budgets. Automated budgeting tools can suggest limits for spend categories based on your income and past expenses. If you use one, set up alerts to warn you when you get close to the limit. And if you persistently struggle to align your budgeted and real-world expenses, then enlist a financial planner. Small business development centers backed by the U.S. Small Business Administration offer free or low-cost planning services. If you operate paycheck to paycheck, which a lot of people do in their personal life, but you can't afford to do that in your business life, your company might be able to spend everything it makes for a month or two. But unexpected expenses happen. Sooner or later, you're going to find yourself coming up short. Before that happens, set up a business savings account. Just as you would in your personal life, save up to 3 to 6 months worth of operating expenses in case of a downturn. Resist the temptation to invest the money, which can result in a loss. If you're struggling to save but have plenty of business, consider raising your rates. You might assume that a late payment here and there isn't a big deal, but fees build up quickly and repeat incidences can result in a reduced credit limit. Money may not be the root of happiness, but there's nothing more stressful than running a company in the red. If you can't kick bad financial habits entirely, at least quarantine them. You'll feel better and you'll have a stronger business to boot. I really like that one comment in there about if you're going to make that impulse buy. You know, you need a new, you want a new computer, it's got to be faster, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. Then going over that with someone that you trust could be a friend, could be a fellow business person, could be someone on your staff, or even your accountant, and say, I need to buy this computer. It costs $5,000, whatever it may be. When you go over it with a financial planner, when you go over it with your accountant, they're going to say, you got $2,500. You don't have $5,000. I wouldn't make this purchase. And it may make you think. It may make you take that 10 seconds to say, all right, not now, but I'm going to save up because this will help my business down the road. So be careful on those impulse buys. And again, listen to that little voice in your head. Do you really need it? Make sure your business finances are the most effective you can. And they talked about opening a business savings account. Open six of them. Do what Mike McAllowitz suggested in the book, The Profit Plan. An account for your rent, an account for your taxes, an account for equipment, an account for that rainy day fund in case, you know, something goes wrong, and an account so that you get paid as well. But make sure that from every sale, a certain percentage of every sale is going into those funds. Let's talk about speeding up the sales cycle. I have some customers and clients that will talk about speeding up the sales cycle in their business where they say the process is too slow. Person comes in, they talk about their needs, they'll write up a proposal, now it's got to go back to somebody else, and they have to think about it, weigh on it, and then make their decision. But, you know, time is elapsing, and the person wants to make a quick sale. So how can you speed up the sales cycle? Now, in large companies, the sales cycle is in constant motion, and sales naturally stagger since there are plenty of clients. But for small businesses, though, sales may clump, or there may not be enough clients to keep the cash flow consistent. One way to manage this issue, then, is by restructuring your sales cycle so that they're shorter. Shorter sales cycles can help your business increase its income and lead to accelerated growth in ways a more drawn-out loop can't. And as you grow, your business will have a chance to consider new goals and use its increased income to chase dream clients, taking your operation to the next level. The first thing you're going to want to do is to get the right tools. Now, one of the most important steps you can take towards shortening your business's sales cycle is by ensuring you have the right tools for the job. This is a universal rule and one exemplified by the rise of online sales. Though only a portion of small businesses sell online, a full 81% agree that online sales increase their income. And while e-commerce sites are now an old tool, so are many of the most valuable SMB tools used in shortening the sales cycle. Among the tools you should be sure to adopt as part of your program, two of them stand out. The first is CRM software and eSign. The first, a CRM program, easily centralizes client information so that you can identify where they are in the sales cycle. eSign software allows clients to complete contracts and other vital documents without the hassle of a fax or a face-to-face meeting, keeping digital communications organized and in one place so that you can easily track past sales and other interactions will change how you think about the sales process. Let's talk about the value of a proposal. Once you've got your technology in place, the next step is to think about how a clear proposal can speed up your sales cycle. Of course, you've likely developed proposals in the past, but you shouldn't stop there. By using proper proposal software, you'll have access to proposal analytics and data on the process. For example, Proposable's proposal software makes the sales process more transparent by offering users the ability to track client engagement, whether they've opened your proposal, and even how much time they've spent reviewing it. When trying to shorten your sales cycle, your proposal also offers you valuable tools for guiding the conversation. Based on elements included in your plan, you'll be better positioned to ask useful questions, address problem areas, and assist your client. And on their side of the equation, a clear proposal will help your client identify any changes they need to make. It also reduces the complexity of editing the plan to meet their needs. You have to make it urgency. Stress the urgency. It's hard to insist that a proposal is more urgent than the client thinks it is, but when it comes to shortening the sales cycle, creating a sense of urgency is important. So how do you do that? One option is to set a deadline for the proposal, potentially even charging for a second proposal if the client doesn't take action. Another way to create a sense of urgency is to tie the proposal to a discount. If the discount is time-bound, clients are more likely to act to put the proposal in motion so that they can save money. How do you do this? If you send a proposal to somebody, to a prospective client, put a note on the bottom. This proposal is valid for 30 days, or it's valid until the 15th. This way, you're telling them, we need a decision by X date. If you do the discount route, you can say a 5% discount, a 10% discount, a 2% discount, you pick it, will be applied to this proposal if accepted by November 1st. Now, you've shortened that sales cycle down even further. Obviously, people have to look at their budgets. They have to look at their needs and possibly even talk about whether or not financially they should move forward. But when you speed up the process, it creates a little bit of urgency. This way, your proposal isn't just sitting on their desk waiting for a decision. And you want to close the loop. In order to close the sales loop and speed up sales, you might need to provide your clients with consistency. That means assigning a point person for each proposal. Even if multiple people work on each proposal, there should be a single person who talks to each client. This will ensure that your clients know who to contact if they have a problem and keep communication flowing smoothly. Things tend to get lost when they have to travel through a general service desk. Another part of closing the sales loop involves adding more sales points. If you can identify other client needs, you'll have more consistent interactions and more opportunities to sell. Through appropriate follow-up and client surveys, you can determine what's missing from your current offerings. This will help your clients meet their goals while also moving your business forward. And of course, always keep your eyes on the prize. One of the main advantages of shortening your sales cycle is that it gives you the financial resources to pursue bigger goals. That means this is the time to compile a list of dream clients. That doesn't mean you should start listing celebrities you want to sell teapots to or some other far-fetched notion. Instead, focus on big names within your industry or audience. If you're going to expend your resources to go after a dream client, they should be clients you can actually secure. A fast sales cycle isn't casual or rushed. It's focused and targeted. And as you continue to hone your process, you'll apply the lessons of each sale to the next. So experience is a great teacher, and it will give you the tools to make each sale quicker and more valuable for you and your clients. I always liked that, and I heard this probably 20 years ago, the dream client. What account do you really want to go after? When I was in recruiting, my boss would always say, what pharmaceutical company, because I had worked in the pharma space, what pharmaceutical company do you want to land as a client? And he would ask us to keep five in mind. And I would give him my list, and he goes, okay, what are you going to do about getting a job order from the first client, let's say? And I would call in. I would spend maybe half an hour, 45 minutes every day calling into the company, looking to get in touch with the right person. This was before the days of LinkedIn when, you know, you basically had an organizational flow chart on your desktop. And I would call in and I would keep asking questions. Who do I need to speak to about this? Who's in charge of this? Who's in charge of that? Finally, I would get to the right person and then I could make my pitch. And there was no better feeling than when, you know, there was a nibble at the end of the line or they'd say, hey, come on up and meet with me or something like that. And I would prepare like hell to make sure that I put on a great presentation. And I'll never forget, one of the companies I wanted to do business with was Novartis, and the executive vice president of regulatory affairs, somehow I got him on the line, and he set up a meeting with me, my boss, and the lady who ran the human resources department. When I got there, his first question out of his mouth was, explain to me the regulatory process for getting a drug approved. Now, my trump card on this was my wife, in that she worked in clinical research, and she had been through this process, so I was able to kind of relate to him what she had told me over the dinner table. And by the time the conversation was over, a couple hours later, he looked at the lady from HR and he said, this is our guy. I want him working on all of our assignments. And we were able to complete them. It's not enough to make the proposal. You still have to produce. And that was the key thing that got us that job. And, you know, from that point forward, we certainly did a lot of business with them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Going to step away, pay a couple of bills with some ads. And when we come back, we're going to talk about three things that may be preventing you from hitting your business goals. Again, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of the program, and the guy who has to hold the microphone in his hand because the mic stand won't work. We'll be working on this for next week, so hopefully we can get this resolved, but a little annoying. So let's talk about the three things that may be preventing you from hitting your business goals. Now, working without a business development strategy could stunt your company's growth and prevent you from meeting your goals. Now, women in the U.S. gained the legal right to attain a business loan without a male relative co-signer 3 decades ago, and since then, the rate of women-owned businesses has increased exponentially, with women of color leading the way. But even as the numbers rise, the National Women's Business Council points out that only 1.8% of women's businesses scale successfully past the $1 million revenue mark, versus 6.3% for men. Now, from leaving work to care for their families and bias against women in the workplace to enduring other forms of systemic prejudice, women and WOC business owners often fall through the cracks, unable to develop the business development strategies necessary to get ahead. As a mom, wife, strategist, woman of color and business owner, you might be able to relate. In order to succeed, you have to break one statistic and barrier after another. It's encouraging to know that some big solutions begin with the basics. If you're having trouble getting started, create a business strategy. Don't have support? Then build your own. Sometimes your skills, your goals, and your circle are all you have. So lean on them to help you break through. Advice has helped many women create strategies to achieve business goals, and together you can find solutions to tackle some of the most common obstacles that can impede progress. You want to overcome what's called imposter syndrome. Now, fear of failure is a powerful deterrent to business development. If you don't have the support, often you would put yourself last and start supporting others. But when you leave to start your own business and build a better life for your family, you might find that you have that feeling of inferiority lagging behind you. So you want to overcome imposter syndrome. And what that means is you don't believe that you belong in that space, that you're an imposter. Stop thinking like that. You're there for a reason. So approach problems holistically. Keep the people that you affect at the forefront. The best solution is usually a comprehensive business development strategy. You have to understand your end goal in order to reach it. So position yourself to see what's coming, and then you can pivot accordingly to hit your goals. Renee Ward, the founder of the marketing agency Creative Umbrella Consulting, speaks to this point when she says, "It's very important to plan marketing and sales initiatives 12 months ahead and have scheduled checkpoints along the way. When initiatives are scheduled, it's easier to make strategic pivots and decisions. When you prepare and you invest energy and resources strategically, you can begin breaking down barriers to create the industry first that your business needs to hit and then exceed your goals. A business development strategy can also help you overcome that nagging imposter syndrome. The best way to conquer fear is through strategic planning," Ward says. The part that is starting to bug me about business owners, whether it's women or men, but particularly with women, is that inferiority complex. And I've said this quote several times from Eleanor Roosevelt, that no one can make you feel inferior unless you let them. So if you open a business, run it. Do it to the best of your ability. If there's somewhere where you're lacking in your business skills, find somebody who can teach them to you. Take a course at the county college. Do something, but learn. Don't hang out with the people that you're currently hanging out with. Find the successful people and go hang out with them. Invite them to coffee. Ask them to mentor you or to share their ideas with you of how you can make your business better. I just had a woman in my office this morning. She came in at 10 o'clock for a meeting, didn't leave until 11:30. But we talked for an hour and a half about how she can structure her business and promote her product and really expand her business and her sales with a couple of quick tips. And she said, "It's amazing that you're sharing all this information with me." And I'm like, "Look, I'm 58 years old. I'm not going to be here forever. Why would I take all this information with me to the grave? Let's share it. Let's let you grow. And then hopefully you'll share it with somebody down the road as well." But again, the best way to conquer fear is through strategic planning. If you know what's coming, so, and when she mentions 12 months out, if you know Valentine's Day is coming in February, oh yeah, it comes every month, every year in February, then plan for it. Get ready for your Valentine's Day sale. You know Christmas is on December 5th. You know New Year's is January 1st. Be planning for those and anything else that falls in between. She's right. And you have to sharpen your lens to get clear on strategies for achieving your business goals. Don't rely on your experience and strategy all the time. Reach out to your network and dig into market research and emerge with a brand that you'll be proud to put your name on. You also have to figure out where to start. Now, oftentimes, business development stagnates because of a lack of direction. Once you've honed in on your offering, developing strategies for achieving business goals can help to maximize your return. You want to create that momentum. And the most common cause of startup failure is not due to a lack of a great idea, but a lack of momentum. Business growth strategies rely on this momentum to drive traffic, leads, and sales. So it's a great place to start. You got to hustle like nobody's business. You've got to be out there promoting yourself, your product, your business all the time. And then optimize that momentum. Encourage yourself to work hard into smart work, but strategically analyzing what's working and what's not. And if something stops working, then stop doing it. You want to establish your KPIs, your key performance indicators, and strive for incremental improvements among the most important ones. Where you can, you're going to want to systematize your business. Once your business is successfully optimized, put systems around areas of momentum so that no part of the business is dependent on the owner or any one person. An owner's job is to make sure the business has fuel to keep going. So you often end up wearing many hats in the process. Systems help you get out of your own way. If you've done the work and implemented good business growth strategies, you're able to identify what your business needs to thrive, and you can systematize and outsource the rest. You also want to be innovative. When a business development strategy is solidly in place, you can build brand new profit centers and generate breakthrough profits. If optimization puts your company on the growth tracks, it's innovation that keeps you there. And make sales and marketing a priority. When you're just starting to scale, funds are often tight, and it's smart to monitor your cash flow to keep your business afloat. However, there are crucial steps of business development that no business owner should skip. As a branding and marketing business, you often see business owners who are reluctant to invest in marketing and sales initiatives. So make sure that you understand that sales is the lifeblood of every company, regardless of your product, your service, your solution. There are two problems to solve for: getting enough people to raise their hand and show interest in your solution, and turning those raised hands into cash in your bank account. So hopefully those are ways that you'll be able to grow your business over time. And again, think scaling. I love that part about be considering your marketing and your strategy and your planning 12 months out. You should already be working on the first half of 2020. And if you're not, then you're just doing day-by-day stuff, you're gonna struggle. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Astros lead their series with the Yankees 2-1. Last night's game was postponed due to rain, which will force the teams to play 4 straight games. The winner of this series will take on the Washington Nationals in the World Series. In NASCAR news, Ryan Blaney won last week's rain-delayed race at Talladega on Monday to punch his ticket to the round of 8 in the NASCAR Monster Energy Series playoffs. This week, the teams head to Kansas Motor Speedway for the Hollywood Casino 400 this Sunday at 2:30 p.m. on NBC. And in NCAA football, Alabama holds down the top spot of the AP Top 25 poll. They're followed by LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Wisconsin, Penn State, Notre Dame, Florida, and Georgia round out the top 10. This week, Rutgers takes on number 20 Minnesota, and Penn State takes on number 16 Michigan. In the NFL, the Giants take on the Cardinals Sunday at 1 p.m., the Eagles play the Cowboys at 8:20, and the Jets play the Patriots on Monday night. The NHL regular season has begun, and the NBA preseason is continuing. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and as always, end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo are in Turkey pushing for a ceasefire as they meet with the Turkish president. Turkey sent military forces into northern Syria last week after President Trump decided to pull around 50 troops out of Syria last week. Chicago teachers went on strike Thursday, marching on picket lines after failing to reach a contract deal. It follows months of negotiations between the union and Chicago public schools that failed to resolve disputes over pay, benefits, class size, and teacher preparation time. CTU President Jesse Sharkey speaking about the strike.
We're asking for a just contract. We understand that a teacher strike is a difficulty for the parents and the public in the city of Chicago.
And U.S. Ambassador to the EU Gordon Sondland is testifying behind closed doors on Capitol Hill. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits. Come on, Fred, maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Baltimore Democrat and Chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee Elijah Cummings has passed away at the age of 68. Barbara Taylor is a lifelong resident of Baltimore. She shares how much Representative Cummings means to the city.
He's done a lot of great things for our city. And he's sort of like all the things that Martin Luther King had wanted to do and has done. He has really kept alive in Baltimore City for us. The city is mourning. I know right now I'm mourning. I'm still crying.
Negotiators for the EU and UK say they've reached a tentative Brexit agreement. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
The UK and EU have reached a tentative Brexit deal after London made concessions over the Irish border, which had been a key sticking point. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says Parliament should get Brexit done by Saturday.
French President Emmanuel Macron has welcomed the new deal. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Researchers from Florida and Illinois are leading a global effort to understand and protect the world's most trafficked mammal, which is nearing extinction. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the details.
The pangolin, also called the scaly anteater, the cat-sized pangolin is hunted and killed for its scales and meat in Africa and Southeast Asia. New researchers are putting cameras attached to the backs of the animal to learn about them. The research cameras are attached to the scales, which are made of a similar substance to that of fingernails. Superstitious beliefs about the scales having medicinal properties are one of the main drives of the animal's demise. Pangolins are unusual in the evolutionary sense because they're the only mammal that can grow scales. Pangolins are being raised successfully for the first time by the Brookfield Zoo near Chicago and a handful of other zoos. Conservationists estimate 1 million pangolins have been snatched from the wild and trafficked in the past decade. That's equivalent to one pangolin dying every 5 minutes. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And finally, Week 7 of the NFL kicks off tonight on Fox as the Denver Broncos will host Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kickoff is set for just after 8 o'clock Eastern Time. For more news, you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color. This is topical for you guys. This is really topical. And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression. Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, entitled...